Hey guys, just a very quick message before this episode begins. I forgot to put this in the audio version, or at least indicated in the audio version, but I did slip it into the video version somehow. That's just spoilers for Shogun Roku Rakugo Shinju seasons 1 and 2. So spoilers for both seasons of Rakugo Shinju. And with that said, here is the episode. I'm Jamal, and you're listening to Guest in the Mecha, your weekly anime and manga analysis podcast. From inspiring arcs to game-changing cinematography, I'm on a journey to try and make sense of it all, episode by episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Guest in the Mecha, and in today's episode, we are taking a look at Rakugo Shinju. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, since Rakugo was an anime that I intended to watch for a long time. And recently, I decided to watch it, and now I can't stop thinking about it. So that's definitely what we're going to be covering this week. As usual, when you watch a show like this, a pretty, I don't know if I can say profound show, but one that definitely makes you think quite a lot about a very specific niche topic, in this case, Rakugo, there's usually that one moment from the activity that lives quite rent-free in your head, if I'm just to say it that way. And in this case, that thing really was what it means for art to die, or what it means for art to live. And so I want to kind of firstly talk about Rakugo, but then I want to talk a bit more meta about what Rakugo's message implies for art as a whole. So let's get into the episode and talk about the life and death of art slash the media. I want to pick up on the point of the anime that really stuck with me, and it's quite literally the end. And when I say the end, I mean the literal last line of the anime, or the final lines of the anime, which I found really special, probably the most memorable quotes to me in this entire show, and a quote that's probably going to stick with me for a long time, not just in terms of Rakugo, but just in terms of anime in general, because that, again, it just really stuck with me based on what it implies and what we're going to go into. So the final line in the anime occurs when there's this conversation with Yota and Higuchi, and Higuchi, of course, being the rather intellectual person he is, kind of goes into a bit of a speech, nothing too much, but talking about how, you know, Rakugo's finding new life, and it's all very profound from him talking about the eras and changes, something which we're actually going to be talking about here. And it's funny because Yota then replies with I'd say a much simpler and maybe better way of saying it. It's funny because it comes from Yota, and, you know, Yota as a character isn't the smartest guy ever. He's very fun, but he is quite smart still. But, you know, he isn't the one giving these super profound takes, but yet I think he gives the most profound take in this episode and maybe the entire show. And he does it probably a bit better than Higuchi, in my opinion. And he does this by saying, "After all, something this good could never go away." I think this really resonated with me and changed my entire perspective on the show in a way, because it put into words something that I'd been trying to think about, but I couldn't really get out of my head. And Yota just hit it on the head, to say it like that. But let's talk about Rakugo. And Rakugo might seem something that's quite culturally distant to a lot of us, particularly those, of course, in the West, in which obviously this isn't something that we engage in. It's a very specific thing in Japanese culture. And also some of us might view it as potentially old or old-fashioned. But we have to remember that it is art nonetheless. And I assume that, again, you listening to this podcast, someone who regularly engages and interacts with media products and art. And I think that means by virtue of Rakugo being art, we can learn something about art in general from it, regardless of whether it's old fashioned or it comes from a very specific culture in which you might not be able to specifically relate to. Rakugo Shinju doesn't just give us an insight into the climate and struggles that Rakugo faces, but struggles in which almost all art forms, or a lot of art forms, have faced and are facing in the modern day, being this struggle of maintaining relevance and standing power, where, you know, there are all these other dynamics and external forces and other competing forms of art, which is something we can't ignore as people that engage in art. Kind of what I think Yota is getting at when he says this, even though, of course, what he said is very self-explanatory, but I think we can dig deeper into it. And I think the reason why he says it's alive is really because it's always been compelling in his view. Of course, when we see him at the beginning of the anime, when he's recently gotten out of prison, he is a reformed man. And he also finds Rakugo super compelling since he experienced it in prison. And the fact that he still views it as compelling, I think, shows what he's getting at. It's the fact that all this time, he has always seen the draw, and he's always been drawn to Rakugo, and that's why, of course, he wanted to be a performer. But it's the fact that he's been able to be, I want to say, almost controlled by its influence all this time, and has always felt its influence, means that it's good, and it's therefore alive, because it's constantly drawing him in. But what exactly draws people into Rakugo? And I think we have to think beyond just the actual performance itself, but the world of Rakugo has a narrative. It has the narrative being the entire anime, particularly season one. It's the stories that underpin Rakugo itself, not just the actual performance of Rakugo. Rakugo being a story, a means of telling stories, has a story in itself. Something we see very often in Rakugo is how the storytellers have stories, and that informs the stories in which they tell. You can't separate the story and the context in which the artist or the storyteller is in from the story they're telling, and that's what the show shows, because you can't perform without actually having stories of your own and things in which change how you tell a story. And the best storytellers use that very real thing and those very real stories in their own lives to control how they tell stories, and that influences it all the time. We even see physical manifestations of it as we go through the show. Stories don't exist on their own. They're not isolated. They don't live in a vacuum. And so we have all these external influences that control the story, not just the stories of the people, but the Rakugo world. And the fact that it is a world in itself, it kind of proves my point. It develops a culture. It develops and manifests as an idea. When we think of Sukiroku, for example, a lot of his arc, it is all about whether he can tell certain stories and how he tells them, and how the Rakugo world, in a lot of ways, because it's very untraditional, rejects those stories which he's trying to tell or how he's telling them. And that controls and influences how he tells stories going down the line, because when you have people not liking him and so on, that has a very negative effect on him too. And when you have all these more traditionalist conservative people saying, you can't do it like this, you can't do it on that, that has a toll on him. So we have to think of stories being more like reflections of the artists, and artists being reflections of their own stories. The stories they tell on the stage are directed by the stories of Yota and Sukiroku and Miyukichi and Yakumo, etc. Their entire dynamic is what makes their Rakugo performances so much more insightful, because if anything, it's an insight into themselves. They're basically, or I think you can interpret a lot of Rakugo Shinju as these performers being very vulnerable in a lot of cases. And we see this more towards when we see Yakumo doing a lot of performances, and you see him seeing Miyukichi's ghost, or even if we look at Yota and then seeing Yakumo's ghost, they're talking kind of about themselves and the world which they live and the people which they've interacted with. It's too interesting to throw away the story of Shogen Roku Raiko Shinju, which is why I'm doing a podcast on it, because it's just that compelling. And that discourse is what keeps it alive. And that's why it is burning kind of bright to this day, and why it has such critical acclaim and continues to do so. And that's why more people get into it, because it is alive in a lot of ways. There's a culture around it, and the same exists with Shogen Roku Raku Shinju and Rakugo in the show. I think the death of Yakumo is really important when it comes to Rakugo Shinju, because he proves the point in which I'm trying to make. Yakumo's whole idea, particularly in season two, revolves around dying with Rakugo. He will sort of bear the sins of what he claims to have done in the past and die with it. And that will be the end, and there will be no hurt, and there will be no pain. And firstly, I think that also talks very much about the culture that exists with Rakugo, the fact that he believes that Rakugo has, well, he kind of eludes or makes out that Rakugo has caused so much pain, which is what has led to the death of people like Myokichi or Sukeroku, which led him down this path. I'd say Sukeroku's death is much more than him falling and being pushed. I think that's a bit of a, I don't want to say it's an unnuanced take, but there's much more to it than him. Just the person that pushed him is the killer of him. But it's, you can argue it's the Rakugo world that led him to this position in which, you know, he was going up with Myokichi, and all these things descended from there. That's how he got there to begin with. And you have to think about not just the very last blow, but the things that got him there. So even someone like Yakumo acknowledges that Rakugo exists beyond just itself. It's more than just a performance. It's a whole idea. It's a world. It's a concept. And secondly, Yakumo's death to me proves that Rakugo is much more than just a thing. It's not something, you can't treat it as simply a performance. And it's not something you can just die with, because art exists beyond itself. And Rakugo has reached that level of being so compelling to the point to which it can't just die with a person, because it exists in what you could say is the cultural zeitgeist, which is beyond people. Yes, we shape it, but we don't have complete control over it as individuals. Yes, we could be very integral members to its continuation, but one person dying, unfortunately, well, I don't want to say unfortunately, but fortunately, does not change and completely ruin that zeitgeist. And My point is that Rakugo exists beyond Yakumo, and the fact that it exists as an idea and a concept says so much about how compelling it really is. So much of Rakugo has to do with life and death, but also legacy. Although one's physical form may be gone, people don't just take their legacy and ideas to the grave necessarily. Everything about you doesn't die when you die. The presence of you still exists. We can also kind of see this in the internet with like digital footprint, right? But that's another conversation. But that's why when stuff like the theater burns, where Myokichi dies, when Sukeroku dies, etc., their ideas and messages continue to live and arguably even haunt the characters. And it's the same for Rakugo. That's the thing. What they, and that's why I said that Rakugo is reflected in the performers, and the performers reflect the state of Rakugo. The memories you had with other people and all these things you left in terms of impact or whatever still exist and are implanted in people, are implanted as an idea that exists beyond you. In short, since Rakugo is an idea and exists beyond itself, it cannot simply just be killed and just die as easily. The only case in which I would make for Rakugo or art in general, quote unquote, dying is as an idea, when it fails to remain compelling anymore, when it cannot simply draw somebody in. And this is not the case in the anime, at least from the time span in which we see. This really got me thinking about the meta elements of things and what it means for media to live or die. In the age of overproduction and anime, this is an important question that I am constantly thinking about. And there are so many anime that either some people would claim are dead, and anime that stay alive, they exist beyond just their air date. Rakugo's answer to the death and life of media really got me thinking about mecha anime, as you know, I usually do, name this podcast. And Rakugo, funnily enough, got me thinking about the main point of conversation as to things dying in the anime community, which is the question of whether mecha is dead or not. And I think based on what I've said and what I also believe now, or not just now, but what Rakugo's kind of pushed me into thinking much more, is that really strengthens my belief on the idea that mecha is not dead as a genre of anime. What it means for art to die and so on, it should not really be defined by output. It's not really based on, okay, we can get 3 mecha anime out per year, or this was the last time a mecha anime came out. No, it's the idea for mecha anime to remain compelling. And as we know, mecha anime has managed to have its dominance in the cultural zeitgeist. We have people still talking about the most famous mecha anime, and therefore I don't think mecha anime is dead as a result, because it maintains that standing power throughout history and still does, and manages to stay compelling. The mecha isn't dead argument I suggested at one point is rather like capitalistic in a way, because it's very much based on, again, production and how much is being produced, how much is coming out. But that isn't really the core of what I think defines art. Of course, viewing art in capitalism leads us to believe that how much of it is being produced is something of a valuable metric. But realistically, or at least I like to think that that isn't how we define art. I would like to live in a world in which we don't define art simply based on capital and capital alone. Titles like Evangelion, Gundam, Macross, etc. I know some people might say, oh, you're just talking about the popular series, but that's the point. That is literally the point. Regardless of the time that has passed, these anime have continued to pull their weight, have continued to create this culture around them. And that's what matters. The fact that we are still making the same Evangelion memes and debating whether it's a deconstruction or not is the proof. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Evangelion is a deconstruction, but the fact that we are still debating it talks about Evangelion's place and ability to stay compelling, and hence it's not dead. The fact that we're still talking about 0079 remakes, again, I don't believe in those, but the fact that we are still talking about those, again, is proof that it's not dead. I'm sure you get what I'm trying to say now. It would be hard to deny the relevance of these shows even in the year 2022, regardless of whether they came out 20, 30 years ago, or whether they came out yesterday. It's the idea that they exist as an idea, the idea that they exist beyond themselves. As we said, for the life and death of media and art, I think mecha anime is also so compelling and continues to stay compelling because, similarly to Rakugo in Rakugo Shinju, it has a narrative of its own. And that is also what keeps it such an interesting thing to observe, because it also not just exists as an idea, well, yes, but it exists as a world. It exists beyond just the simple shows themselves. That makes me think to stuff like the Hideaki Anno interview and how everyone reacted to that, or the documentary, I should say, after the latest Evangelion movie, and how everyone went wild about that, or how people still discuss Tomino's old and new interviews. Behind the storytelling of mecha anime comes with loads of other stories. Multiple creators in different contexts interact with one another. They maybe say some very sketchy things about each other, but that's the story of mecha anime. Mecha anime, and just like most genres of anime, they exist beyond themselves. And I don't think excluding mecha anime from this, you could say, accolade is a very fair thing to do, because I'd say it has maybe one of the most interesting stories behind it, and one that has continued to shape anime to this day. When I hear the mecha is dead argument, I don't cringe, but I think it's a bit unfortunate, because I think that we give stories not enough credit, or they're more profound than we give them credit for. And I hope things like Rakugo can open people's eyes to this message that, although it's in the confines of fiction, Rakugo Shinju's parting message and the message of media and art is something we can all learn from, and something we can use to transform our perception and understanding of art. We can use art and the media to appreciate other art even more. And that's why thinking of it as these self-isolated things is quite damaging, because what we can learn from mecha anime in regards to narrative, we can apply to other things. And what we learn from Rakugo Shinju is something we can also apply to other things and the media landscape and art landscape we live in. So just to wrap this up, I think what it means for media and art to stay alive is what it means for an idea to stay alive. People need to be thinking about it and expressing that idea to others, and openly. That usually helps quite a lot. As long as that stays around, the idea of the thing stays alive. The properties as old as time will not simply die just because there aren't products and things coming out, but it's whether people still care about it and continue to show that they care about it, regardless of whether there's I don't say capitalistic entity, but a property or something made of money to prove that people still care about it. I don't think we can retain or contain our entire idea and conception of media and art just through capital, because it exists beyond capital, as we've kind of been pushing. So next time you think about calling a piece of media or a genre or other things dead beforehand, I think this is something to think about. Think about Rakugo Shinju's message. Think about Rakugo and what it has to say about art. And hopefully that will maybe make you think a bit differently about how you talk about the arts and media and their lifespan. That's a great place to end this podcast. Sorry for saying like idea and concept a lot. And in itself a lot. I realized that I said that quite a lot, but with a topic like this, you do kind of go a bit in circles. So hopefully I hope this podcast didn't end up feeling like a very cyclical thing, or I was just saying the same thing 10 times over. But if I did, please tell me in the comments. And also just, what are your opinions on Shogen Rakugo Shinju? Are there any messages that really resonated with you in the show beyond just the one which I mentioned? And, you know, do you like Rakugo? Is this something you don't like? Do you agree with my argument? Do you agree with Rakugo's argument? So put those all in the comments, or just, you know, message me on social media and all those things, you know. So that is at Get in the Mecca on Twitter if you do want to discuss this stuff. It's also why I just spend a lot of the time between shows. And there's a lot of messaging about the upcoming episodes. And then if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by, you know, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. As always, the links are in the descriptions of the various podcast apps. Same goes for the blog, which I hardly ever talk about. Getinthemecca.home.blog. You can check that out. And then finally, if you want to support on YouTube, which I'm assuming you're probably watching on, you can subscribe, like all the standard stuff. So thank you for listening, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you, and I will see you next time on Get in the Mecca. The music in this episode goes as follows: Chill, Adventure Time Revise, On the Road Again, and Synthwave by Alex. And all this music is done by Alex McCulloch and is under the public domain.